When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Ali Le Rouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you the view from the terraces at Liverpool FC.
Welcome to another episode of Ali Le Rouge. I'm joined by Jared Miles and Michael Potter, who enjoyed the podcast so much last time, he's back. And I'm also delighted to be joined by Danny Draper, an independent filmmaker from Liverpool. We'll hear more from Danny later after we've analysed the football. Well, West Ham gave us a good game and looked threatening in the first half, but we were too strong for them in the second. There's no doubt about the penalty when Salah was brought down. I mean, it was a blatant pen, wasn't it, Jed?
Yeah, but when you looked at them, they were doubting it, weren't they? They were saying he was dead and all that.
It was so blatant, wasn't it? Like, but it just shows you how fans just see what they want to see.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah,
but,
yeah. Yeah, I thought the first half was touch and go, but the second half, I just overpowered them.
They were pretty good, weren't they, mate?
Well, I think that's the way Liverpool have been this season, though. We start this slow start, but as the game goes on, especially the second half, they seem to have that energy, that power, especially, you know, going through the middle, you know, obviously, with the Scouse Puskas pulling these things.
Second half team, is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Well, not really a second half team, but you know, maybe the half's thinking that we better up the game here, otherwise we'll be hooked because Klopp has this
strong
bench. The bench is so strong, isn't it?
Danny, how did you see it? I mean, almost like the rest of the season, really. I feel like they know we need to play for, you know, within half an hour we can do the damage, you know what I mean? Let's get it done in that time. So I think they know that a little bit in the back of their head, so that slow start knows, well, you know, if we are under the cosh, we'll just pick it up and do the job. But I mean, West Ham had, like, you know, so many good shots. I mean, Alisson made a world-class save, and he was absolutely sensational, wasn't it? World-class, you know, to keep, and then Antonio missed a bit of a sitter, but their equaliser is a brilliant goal, wasn't it?
Brilliant move, wasn't it?
I mean,
good player, Bowen.
What do you think? Do you think Van Dijk could have done better? Because he seems to like be leaning back, doesn't he? And Bowen just goes to the diving header.
I don't think we're expecting diving headers, to be honest with you, because it was a great effort, wouldn't it? Like, because he was sticking his foot out of the side clear.
He was backtracking, weren't he? I've watched it back a few times, and he's looking at Antonio. He's getting in the box, keeping an eye on him, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's Bowen again.
Credit the goal.
And he nearly gets out of the shape. It was a great goal.
Yeah, fantastic goal. Sometimes you've just got to say, world-class goal. You've got to just admit it, that, you know, nothing. I mean, that's why Liverpool presumably were looking at Bowen, weren't they? Because he is a class player, isn't he? And we haven't seen many diving headers, especially in the cop end, by the opposing team ever.
That's what I see. It was Peter Cormack in the derby many years ago.
But, I mean, you know, that was, you know, a bit of a shock, the equaliser. But then, once again, you know, Liverpool showed their class, and the, you know, McAllister's pass for Nunes was just, it was world class, wasn't it, Danny? Well, I mean,
this is the thing, is with, like, he's been playing a number six, really, and that's a little glimpse of, like, getting a little bit further up the pitch, sort of looking at those passes. Maybe Vendo's a bit fitter, he can do that, but he's got it in his locker, hasn't he? You know, like, it's no surprise, but it's the finish from Nunes, really. It's
just instinct.
It's instinct, exactly. You know,
I was thinking it was sort of an un-Nunes goal, something we wouldn't expect from him. You know, he's got that power about him with that deft touch.
Just
something wasn't expected from him.
Coming over the shoulder as well, you know, it's a very difficult skill, isn't it? But, you know, it was instinct. And I think when he has to think about it a bit more, you know, that's when you might get problems with Nunes, isn't it? You know, but, where, you know, he's a different player this season, isn't he?
I mean, when you look at it, 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes before, he had a more clear sight on goal, didn't he? And he put it into the cup, like, and then, as you say, the other one was instinct, like, didn't think about it. And although the other one, he didn't really think about it and had a shot, didn't he? But yeah, great finish, very deft touch, like, wasn't it? And he is a different player this season, isn't he?
I think he is, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of an analysis about him, but, you know, his pressing, his closing down, you know, and I think obviously Klopp's had him for a while now, and it, the way Klopp wants him to play, it's obviously coming to fruition, isn't it,
Dan? Oh yeah, you seen that bit, was it McAllister lost the ball in the middle and they break away West Ham, and it was Nunes who gets back from centre forward to make the challenge on Antonio. I think that's just why I love him as well. He's just raw, he's a bit rash, but then he's got that quality, and he's just like, I don't know, it's that unpredictable nature where, I don't know, I quite like that, and, you know, football's polished and stuff now, and you're like, well, he's a bit rough in, you know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do.
It's I don't think he knows what he's going to do.
I love that, you know what I mean?
But back to what Danny was saying before, I think it's true. I mean, the idea of a 90-minute game as such has gone in Liverpool. I think mostly playing them short spurts where you can win the game. Like second half, we can change that. And say someone come on 25 minutes, 30 minutes tops, and the game's changed so much. And it's been proven by the way we've played this season, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a five times we've been behind.
Yeah.
And we've come back and won.
Yeah.
Even his holding of the ball up has got better than it. It's not bouncing off him. It's not bouncing off him now.
I think also it's probably the quality of, you know, midfielder behind him as well. Yeah. You know, as well, because. Yeah. You know, we would never have made that pass. No one had made that pass last season, would they? Yeah. You know, clipped over the top of the defence. No. I don't think you'd get that pass of Fabinho or Henderson or any of our midfielders.
He's getting better service, and even the goals against Newcastle, like one, he wasn't really getting that, was he? You know what I mean? And as I say, the ball off McAllister for the actual goal was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Danny touched on before. McAllister is an attacking player, but we haven't really seen that side of him this season, has he? I mean, that's definitely in his locker.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as the season develops, he's going to get a few.
Loch is being used a lot in this podcast, isn't it? Loch is being used twice already. We're only 6 minutes in. But, we definitely needed the third to be saved, though, didn't he? Because although, you know, we were much the better team in the second half, there's still a threat, isn't there, you know, from West Ham. You know, they still had an element of threat. So we needed that third, and, you know, Jota, you know, he's sharp in the 6 yard box, isn't he, Dan? You know what I mean? He's just a poacher, isn't he?
He's just unreal, isn't he? I love him in the air, in the 6 yard box as well, you know what I mean? The size of him, his leap, he just comes alive, I don't know, I love him. He's a great option, because would you say he's a starter?
Well, we're going to go on to that later, who you think should start for Spurs, but I think he's not now, is he? You know, I think, you know, since Nunes hit that form and the goals against Newcastle, I think he's starting, isn't he, you know?
I think he's got it. I just go back to the game against Spurs last year, in that last minute when he gets in the box and the angle that he slotted it. He is just a proper poacher in a way. No, he's unreal.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Jared? I mean, in terms of starting the game, I mean, he'd be obviously disappointed, won't he? Because he keeps on coming on and scoring. But, you know, we've got so many options up front now, haven't we?
I think they're all happy to be involved, whether it be half an hour or starting, you know, to be honest with you. Because they're all happy, aren't they?
Like, being in your taxi. You've been in your taxi, have
you? No, but I mean, like, they always seem to be happy, you know. There's not a... None of them are sulking, are they?
No, don't seem to be.
No, I mean, no. I think the only one who's sulking, like, when you look... The other night was Doak. You know what I mean? You know, Jota comes on, Jack Pollen, you know what I mean? I thought, I think they're all happy just to be part and parcel of the team now. They can see what's there.
Yeah.
Well, I said maybe it is a case of they'll accept this short spurt not coming on.
Yeah.
Especially
for us. Jota's got it in his locker. So screw.
But I think, you know, where. You know, there's lots of hype about West Ham, wasn't there? You know, they were really in form and that. But I think when they equalised, I think they were quite happy with that. I think they were going to try and stay as a draw. That's typical of Moyes, isn't it, really, of his attitude and that. But Liverpool's second half just, you know, we overpowered them.
They ran out of legs. I mean, you know, all right, they might have been in Europe, but... So were we, you know what I mean? Like, so, but as I say, that works out. We know we've got a stronger squad. And we did, we overpowered them, as we were saying before. They're half an hour now, and we've got goals all over the front, haven't we? I think all our forwards have scored, like, haven't we, this season?
Yeah, multiple times now as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And the midfields are putting in as well. So as I say, I think that it's looking good.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, I think, I didn't see,
I didn't see the goal against, you know, Leicester's goal against Liverpool, because I was late getting in with the chaos outside with the new technology. But you know, another occasion where Liverpool go one behind, you know, it can be a bit worrying, and you know, because I know we've won the last four games 3-1 on the run, but you know, we've got against Tottenham on Saturday, we've got to start. I mean,
yeah, you're going to get stung at some point, aren't you, by the better team? When Leicester went in 5 minutes, you know, and from our corner, actually, it was a good goal, to be fair.
Yeah, I've seen it since. Like, yeah. I mean, I think Tomisas doesn't do well, does he? Really?
Pretends, you know,
he pretends he's been injured, but
exactly. But I don't know. With the Leicester game, you just knew that the firepower was on the bench, which proved to be the case in the end. But away to Tottenham, you know, there'll be teams where, you know, times when you can't do that. We left it late against Wolves. You know, watching that, I don't like that. You know what I mean?
Leicester had some good young players, didn't they? But I mean, I think, you know, obviously, there was a Dutch masterclass went on there, didn't it?
Gravenberch, I mean,
that was absolutely brilliant goal, that, wasn't it? You know, you watch it again, you just don't know what Gravenberch is going to do there, do you?
I mean, the way he just shimmied and sort of swung his body around, the left foot pass, wasn't it?
And he had the instinct, he knew where Gakpo was going to be, didn't he?
Well, he seems to have slotted in okay, too.
Yeah.
Gravenberch, and, you know, Gakpo is quality. I mean, he's a quality player.
Gakpo is one of those who you might think, you know, because he's on the bench now, I don't think he's a natural starter for but he did so well last year. He's a quality player, isn't he? You know.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, like, when you say he's not a natural starter, don't forget the team on Saturday will be different to next Thursday, won't it?
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you've got to mix
it. It'd be interesting to see Dan Mooney, you know, against Spurs, you know, what is lineup. I mean, I think Diaz will start. Salah will start, so it's a choice between Gakpo and Nunes, isn't it? You know, really.
Jota,
I don't think Jota. Well, maybe Jota, but obviously it depends on tactics. But I think you've got to start Nunes, haven't you? Surely.
I would. Yeah. I suppose if you're being more pragmatic, you'd go with Gakpo because you know he can hold it up. Nunes can hold it up, but he's clever, isn't he? Like, and he drops in and he can link it up well. But I just want to see Nunes. Just unleash Nunes.
Unleash.
Yeah, you'd be terrified of dealing with him, wouldn't you? As you know, like.
I'm all for Gakpo.
It's a split camp here.
Well, I think because, we just mentioned about these conceding these goals. I think maybe Klopp will be a bit more cautious.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, because we don't want to start catch up again.
Well, the danger is with Tottenham, if they do go, say they did go one up. You know, they're likely at home with the atmosphere to go for a second.
And it'll be harder to pull one back against more of a quality side, as Danny touched on before.
By that rationale, would you start Endo then? As opposed to McAllister in number six? In a big game away?
No.
I mean, he did well against Leicester. I mean, I've got some stats there. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But he did well against Leicester. Mm-hmm. And you can see, and Klopp was raving about him, wasn't he? You know, but I think it's a massive game, isn't it? You know, it's a massive game. I think you've just got to go with, you know, people you're used to playing in the system and that. And like that means like the likes of McAllister, Szoboszlai is going to start, aren't they?
Jones, you know, probably,
I think it will be Jones. I think it was significant that Jones come off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Against Leicester. And I was thinking he's coming off to save him for Saturday. Yeah. But I mean, we've got to talk about Szoboszlai, haven't we? Because I mean, that goal to against Leicester was Gerrard-esque, wasn't it? And I know the comparisons have already started, but do you think you know it's stupid so early into his career, Anfield, to start the Gerrard? And you know, he's got the same number, hasn't he? So Dan, I mean, what do you think?
Where did he come from? he took beard from nowhere, doesn't he?
I think we were talking about this in the pub after the Leicester game that you know. Maybe Liverpool was so confident about good he was that they were willing to get him and then McAllister and maybe another couple of players rather than Bellingham. You know, everyone wanted Bellingham and no one can say they didn't want Bellingham because he's an absolute class player, isn't he? But Liverpool, there started to be leaks in the press, didn't there? They preferred three players to one and that was getting leaked by the press. So that must have been, he must have been getting briefed by someone at the club. And I think, you know, looking at it now, Szoboszlai, he's a machine, isn't he, Dan? I mean,
You're a midfield player. I've seen you play. You're not bad. I mean, what do you think of him?
I think the Gerrard comparisons are a bit premature, but of course they are. But he is something special, isn't he? Like, his energy and his quality. I just loved against the Leicester game. It was like when him and Nunes were coming on, it was almost like, all right, we mean business now, I'm going to win this. And within about 3 minutes, he just puts that top in. Yeah. And it's like, oh, he is the real deal.
We've been missing that for years, haven't we? Someone who can score from outside the box.
Listen, yeah. we've got midfielders who can run and got high energy now, but we've also got those goals in them, we've got assists in them, so it's great. I didn't even know who he was before we signed him. Like, and it seemed like a last minute thing, didn't it? The release course was met on the last day before it ran out. I googled him like everyone else on YouTube. I thought, fuck, sound him. And then
If you're the Hungarian captain at 2021, you know, you've got to have something about you, haven't you? He's only 22 now.
He's very good size, aren't he, Hungary?
Very good team.
And Bellingham wouldn't have fixed us on his own.
No, not on his own. I agree.
That's
with
why we needed the old midfield.
The three players, Yeah, but I think if you look at the stats, Szoboszlai arrested the most touches of all Liverpool players against West Ham, 101, and Wolves, 118. And his touch map from the game shows that he was everywhere on the pitch. And then he dropped to a deeper role in the second half after McAllister was substituted against Wolves and he took over the game, you know. So, I mean, what stats they are. And he's actually recorded the second fastest top speed in the Premier League since Premier League records began against Wolves.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That is unbelievable.
Like, the way he just moves across, he glides across the pitch. And that's why I think when you're winning 3-1, he's great to go back, he holds the ball. They kill the game now, don't they? They're very good at killing it now, Liverpool. You're not panicking. Because you've got it now. Whereas sometimes you just launch it and then just over it, stick up top. But the confidence in holding the ball, aren't they? Passing it around as well at the back, I think. But,
I mean, what hasn't he got in his locker?
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
But we have got goals on the middle, as Dan touched on before, I think. I'm convinced McAllister will score against Tottenham.
But he's right foot, left foot as well as the Bosley.
Yeah, well, he scored against Villa with his left, didn't he? But that one, we were in the cop the other night against Leicester, and that was like an exercise miss. It didn't move at all. It just went straight like an arrow. It was like an arrow.
And he got another one 10 minutes later.
I think he does
quality, isn't it? You can just he takes it anywhere. He can turn anyway. Yeah. You know, back to goal. He's got everything.
Yeah. And they put his foot in as well, won't he? Must get a tackle.
I just don't know how we've got him. And we've gone up for 60 million.
I know,
went for 60
people
million.
People are discussing things, sign of the season, and they're going, is it Maddison, is it Ward-Prowse? Mm-hmm. For me, it's obvious who it is. It's Szoboszlai, isn't it? He's just unbelievable. But I'm glad that he's not in that argument on radio discussions, because he's under the radar still, isn't he? Yeah. He's still under the radar. I don't think people realise, because we've watched him and studied him and watch YouTube all the time. You know, I don't think the general public realise how good he is.
Until he plays against them.
Yeah.
Well, the faithless in me just starts to worry that if he carries on like this for 3 years, it's Madrid, it's going to be like, go ahead, we'll have a bit of him. You know,
we're going to edit this bit out, Danny, in case Madrid scouts are listening. But I was on holiday a few weeks ago, and this fella heard me talk and said, oh, where are you from? I said, Liverpool. He said, oh. He said, you have our captain. He was from Budapest. He went, you haven't seen anything yet. This was 2 weeks ago. He's only played a couple of games. You have not seen anything yet. He is unbelievable. He's he is, everyone in Hungary knows what he's like. You are going to be amazed. You know, and I think it's already
come to fruition, isn't it?
Well, already, we're saying that, and that was before the Villa game, you know. So since then, he scored two brilliant goals.
It's good to have someone who actually lives up to the hype, because we got told that about Keita, remember? We signed him, we're going to leave him for a year, and then he'll be great.
I can go back further, right? Dan. Sean Dundee.
Yeah. Well,
there was
another one.
Van Basten.
Yeah. Aquilani, remember him?
I've never known a player who's took to it that good. You know what I mean? Every game he's played, he's probably been MOM really, hasn't he?
He's just been unbelievable, you know. And I think
player of the match, is it?
He's just been absolutely fantastic, you know. Now going back to the Leicester game, you know, it was like Endo did very well, I thought, you know, and like it was one of those, you know, he's getting written off by the internet critics already, wasn't he? You know, But he completed 47 of his 52 passes. That was 90%. And he retrieved possession on 13 occasions more than any other Liverpool player. And you could see him getting stuck in and predicting where the ball was running to, wasn't it? You know, he also made 4 interceptions and won 3 of his 4 aerial duels.
I was about to say that, because yeah. Danny said about Jota having a good leap. He was winning a few, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he put the ball through for Sir Bosley.
Yeah, he did.
Like, as you say, between the lines, a nice little...
It was a great pass. Yeah. And I think, you know, predictions were being absolutely, you know... I mean, he's the captain of Japan. How can he be crap? You know what I mean? That's what people were saying on the internet, weren't they? I know we don't listen to the internet, but you've got to bear in mind that, you know, this is what... A lot of fans were saying because of his price tag and because he was 30. I think it was I read somewhere that Klopp convinced FSG, because it goes against all their principles of buying young players, you know. So we had to convince them that, you know, we needed him, you know.
Yeah.
Now, obviously he's not don't see him as the long term of Liverpool Reloaded because he's 30, but, you know.
You've got to give people a chance, though. People just quit to shoot them down, or as you say, on the internet. You know, the lads hadn't even signed for us, I think, or just signed for us, and they wouldn't have to go with them.
Because
when he's 30 old, anyway.
I know, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I put it out that Gary McAllister was 32. And someone said, well, he's played in the Premiership. Well, this fellow's played in World Cups as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a charm, isn't there, to sign someone who's 30 you've never heard of, captain of Stuttgart, captain of Japan. And what was it, Klopp said? People were texting him from the Bundesliga, like, saying, like, if this is true, you've got yourself an absolute gem. No one's going for him because the profile and stuff. So could be a masterstroke, even though he only plays 20, 30 games. Yeah. But, you know, comes on, we're on the top when you bring him on.
He's a definite starter in the Europa, isn't he, in the Carabao. So, you know, it gives the other players a chance to have a rest, So, I mean, I was very impressed with him first time. Properly had a look at him. And Klopp was raving about him, wasn't he? He said, he said he run balls, he passed the ball through the lines, he played a super game, you know. So Klopp's happy. We're happy.
Hence the goal, as you say, through the lines. It was a great splitting pass, wasn't it, for Sir Bosley, for the goal line? Yeah.
So, I mean, you were mentioning possibly Endo to start at Spurs, but I was
just putting it out there. I'd start McAllister.
You're trying to be conservative on your debut?
I'd start Jones and Sir Bosley, because I think that thing about they've been helping Nunes with the press as well, having a little triangle. So I was just sort of... being controversial, if you like. But,
could be different again.
Sorry, as Peter said, though, this is a big game.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of pressure.
Strongest team.
But Gomez played well last week, didn't he, against West Ham? Trent seems to be fit. Whether would you think I'll throw Trent?
I think, you know, Trent could possibly start, couldn't he?
I think it's Trent's.
He's training, isn't he?
That'll be the change.
So it's 7 successive wins in all competitions for Liverpool. And remarkably, when we beat Leicester, it was the 5th time they'd come from behind. It was their 4th straight win, as I said before, a 3-1 scoreline. So, I mean, would you take going 1-0 down against Spurs and that comeback in the second half? Or is it like, you want the first goal done?
It'd be good to show different sorts of... different performances in our locker, you know what I mean?
That's 6 times we've used locker. This is an in-joke. This is an in-joke. You haven't even mentioned multifunctional midfield play, the cliches.
It would be good to see if we got a 1-0 in us, because I think we'll always score. I think we've always got a goal in us. But, you know, I would like to... It is satisfying when the clean sheet, isn't it? One or 2-0, I'd be happy with. But I'll take anything if it's... If it's a mad game, we go 1 down and then Nunes scores 2.
And as you said before, to go 1-0 down a game...
At Spurs.
Against Spurs.
Yeah, it's different.
This is...
It's different to Wolves, isn't it?
Definitely.
You know?
But we've done that Newcastle and come back with 10 men, didn't we?
That was already the performance of the season, that's yet it, that Newcastle game. But I think let's go for the clean sheets.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
So, a few stats about the... we're on a 17-game unbeaten run in the Premier League. And Spurs have only won one of the last 21
Premier League games against Liverpool. They've drawn 6 and lost 14. The only win was that what time at Wembley. Remember that, in 2017. So I know stats are there to be broken, but you know, I'm looking forward to the game because I think it's going to be a cracker. Because I don't, you know, Postecoglou, he's got them playing well. I mean, Tottenham fans are singing, aren't they? We've got our Tottenham back, you know. Yeah, and yeah. I don't know what Tottenham the tournament. Well, it can't all be that. But
worst
you know,
chance of the season.
Yeah, but it's a massive game, isn't it? Because you know because City are so relentless. We've got to win the game, really, haven't we, to keep in touch with them? Yeah, you know, we can't.
And it's a big game come, you know, hopefully we're still in there come the end of the season. But what's this, our 7th, 8th game? And we've been away to Tottenham, being away to Newcastle, being away to Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, so if we get points on the board again, you're like, it's going to serve us well come later on.
Well, Liverpool were not in any of the positions, really, at the beginning of the season. It was all going to be Chelsea and Man United, wasn't it? Yeah. It just dropped, like, you know,
and Arsenal, a lead balloon. Man City, Arsenal.
Yeah. But, you know, to really be in contention, you know, Spurs is a big test, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, but as you say, I think that we've opened a lot of people's eyes now to be in contention, haven't we? Because we were just getting looked at as also-rans, I think, weren't we? Which I know, City, you've got to keep winning.
No one knew how good Sir Post
Lyons. Well, exactly, yeah. yeah. Taking us to a different level, I think, haven't they? They're there in the midfield now.
But, you know, in terms of, you know, obviously, Tottenham are really confident as well, you know. But
although you look at their last game, they were down till the 90th minute, weren't they? And they had about 8 or 9 minutes injury time runners against Sheffield United.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't break them down, really. So
they had someone sent off it as well.
I think that's where they won, wasn't it? So, I mean, if you go a goal up against them and they've got attack, I think there's more goals for us.
I think Son seems to be more freedom now. Kane's gone, hasn't he? Seems to have more freedom. Richarlison's always going to be a danger against Liverpool, isn't he? But remember the goal he scored last time, and he over celebrated, and then we just went down the other end and Jota slotted it. So it's going to be, you know, everyone's looking forward
to it. It's a game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be hopefully, you know, we're not building up too much, but the two attacking teams, I don't think either team really knows how to defend, you know. It's not going to be a Sheffield United, because Sheffield United went there to do a job, didn't they? Get in front and then sit back. You know, Liverpool aren't going to do that, even if they went 1-0 up. Right. I think they'll still go for it, you know.
Yeah, I do. And although, you know, they might have had a rebirth, Tottenham, that they're still in the early throes of it. You've got to think our sort of DNA. Looks like we're reclaiming our sort of DNA from 2 years ago. So,
yeah.
I think we're the stronger team. And I think
we've
always got to beat Tottenham home and away, I think.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to that. But there has been some news about Dynasty investment this week, you know. Now, that came totally out the blue, but Mick, I mean, what
over to you, Danny, you're the financial
expert. I've just been trying to work out what a minority is, what percentage does 150 million equate
to? They won't go into details, but they say it equates to a minority investment between 1.9 and 3.8%. Mm. So that would value the club at something like £4.3 billion, pounds, $5.3 billion. You know, so it's a massive valuation on the club that they bought for £300 million.
£300 million. So it's gone up £4 billion.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
But
I mean, you know, everyone in the summer was saying, "Oh, why don't they spend money? Why don't they do this?" But you know what. Klopp seems to be in control of everything at the moment. And he seems to be happy. That's all that matters, isn't it, Dan? Absolutely, this won't affect. He's not getting a war chest out of this.
They've said as much as the cover debt from COVID and the training ground and the new stand. That's what it's to cover.
He said that himself this morning, Klopp. He said it's going to be spent wisely, you know, for the rest of the stand to be finished.
Yeah. And you don't feel like he's got a gun to his head when he's saying that, do you?
I think he's genuine when he says that.
I mean, there was an email to the staff which said, from Mike Gordon, said it was to ensure our financial health and success. It says a minority investment of capital to ensure that the club is on a stable financial footing and is positioned financially for future success. It's all basically money talk, isn't it? You know, what we want to know is, when are we buying the next player? I mean, that's what it boils down to. But it doesn't look like that. That's just to stabilise some debts that the club had in terms of
the finance they put into Melwood, and also the new training ground and the new stand and that, you know.
But yeah, as I say, it's to make us financially sound, and we are not going into any debt or anything like that, are we?
Are you surprised that no one wanted to buy the club outright? Because that's why they've gone for this. Because we were getting told in Spencer Shankly that, you know, we were stopping the Middle Eastern investors because of our attitude to Middle Eastern investors, which is absolute nonsense, of course. But that was what was going around on the internet, you know. There was never any bids. It's as simple as that. There was never any bids. No one's putting anyone off because no one made a bid, you know.
And if we did go off for sale, there'd be a few takers.
I think it was probably their valuation of the club. But their valuation, if this minority stake values the club at 4.3, everyone was talking about 3 billion, weren't they? So there's a billion out, isn't it?
Well, we're fourth on the Forbes valuation list, aren't we? Real Madrid, Barca, Man U, and then us.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel. Yeah, I mean, financially, you know, what supporters want is the manager to be backed, you know, and that's what it boils down to, doesn't it? And really, if you look back at last season, you know, that took everyone by surprise because we nearly won the quadruple, ifs and buts, of course, but Klopp seemed to be quite happy. I think everyone was surprised by the drop-off, weren't they, in last season. Yeah, you know, yeah. I think Klopp was, but, you know, it's like Shankly's second great team. I can feel that in me blood. That, you know, that this is the calling. I think Liverpool reloaded. He had that phrase when we did the Boot Room documentary, the Boot Room Boys. Yeah. He called, think of this as the Boot Room Reloaded. So he obviously had that in his mind then. You know, but in terms of the playing staff, you know, it's just a few little fine-tuning things, isn't it, right now? Because
I think so. I mean, new players in a new locker room.
Yeah.
Well, the attacks most of it, isn't it? The midfield now, you know, if that midfield starts, Jones, Szoboszlai and McAllister against Tottenham, the oldest midfield is 24. McAllister, what I mean? Gravenberch is 21, there's the midfield, maybe a centre-back.
Yeah, I think, well, it was all talk of centre-back, wasn't it? Centre-back and, you know, possibly, you know, a younger defensive midfielder. They were looking at Andre, weren't they,
from Brazil.
He looks a bit like, you know, a Brazilian Mascherano, really, he plays. Yeah. So it's a bit of fine-tuning, but I don't think we should get bogged down on the finances because, you know, Liverpool as a club, it's the envy of a lot of Premier League clubs, isn't it? You know,
one of the best run, aren't we?
I think the funds and all that.
You know, I know these people on the internet, you get a lot of people moaning about it all the time, but we're very affluent with our own money, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I think people want, it's the end of the day, people want sugar daddies, don't they? And like, they want massive billionaire. And Abramovich started all this, didn't he? You know, and he changed the goalposts, but since City and now Newcastle, it proves that if you get that, basically countries backing you. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. The Premier League should never allow that, I don't think. But countries are backing, state economies are backing football clubs, which is wrong, really. But if you look at it, that's what some fans want. I'm not saying all fans. I'm saying some fans want that. But if Klopp's quite happy the way he's being able to operate in the transfer market. You know, we were discussing this the other day about Casado, you know. Yeah, his agent came out saying he had no intention ever of going to Liverpool. So who were Liverpool dealing with? Or was it a bluff? We still don't know, do we?
But when you look at that, say Cedo, Lavia and Mason Mount were supposed to be three players we're after. You wouldn't swap any of the players with both for any of them, would you?
No. It's all a game of, you know, chess, isn't it? And smoke and mirrors when it comes to transfers. But we were all excited with Casado. But now you're looking at it and going, well, in a way, you know, he's never worth 115 million, is he?
Nope.
You know, he might be a 50 to 60 million pound player. But, you know, Szoboszlai is like, you know.
He's probably regretting it as well, Stacey, though.
Well, he's only younger, I think he's
a good player.
He's a good player, but, you know, I think you look at it like it's a basket case, Chelsea, isn't it? The one thing Chelsea needed was strikers. You know, and he went for two defensive midfield players, almost as if to stop Liverpool getting them. You know, it's like, just crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a bit like years ago when Mourinho got Salah because we were after him. Stop him getting it, you know what I mean? And this Chelsea fella, this ball, he's just said, oh,
well, when did they speak about Alex Ferguson wouldn't sell us Hines?
Yeah, Hines are like,
yeah. But I mean, I'm really, you know, I'm excited about this team, you know what I mean? I know last season we were in the depths, weren't we, really, in terms of, oh, I know what's gone wrong, but this is like, you know, this is like the dawning of a new age, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what's half the fun, isn't it? You're excited, it's the potential, and that's what makes football interesting for me. It's not instant success, it's not just going to buy the best player in that position, it's just like, who was supposed to like, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's good, and then you watch him grow, and you get excited. Yeah. No, rather than we just bought someone, but Bellingham, we knew what we'd got with Bellingham, you know what I mean? Didn't know who Endo was. I don't know, most players Liverpool have signed, you know, there's a few, Canate, I don't know who he was when we signed them, you know what I mean? You have to Google the players you signed, and then be convinced they're good, but that for me is what makes it interesting, and what makes Klopp one of, you know,
yeah, and generally I think the recruitment's been, you know, apart from a few exceptions, has been very good since Klopp came to the club.
I mean, as you say, who knew Szoboszlai? I mean, we all watch him with footy.
Not me.
You know what I mean? Okay. I mean, all right, you think of Bayern Munich and the other one or two, but, you know, he was a bit of Leipzig.
I've never
heard
of Nunes until we played Benfica.
Yeah. Well, he really sends on against us. He scores against us as well, I think, at Anfield. And then when you see him, he said,
Szoboszlai, some of us, myself included, are still struggling with the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Dom to his friends.
Dom. Yeah, let's stick with Dom. So, Dan, you're an independent filmmaker from Liverpool. Can you, you know, tell us a few of the films that you've made and what you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, so it's usually documentaries. My first one was called Nature of the Beast, about the former Labour MP, Dennis Skinner. That was 10 years ago. I made that one. Yeah, just sort of still continuing to sort of tread that path, really. I'm working on one now called Liverpool Story, which is a year in the life portrait of Liverpool.
As the city, not the football
city,
club.
No, yeah. As the city. You know, painting the city as a living, breathing, sort of like a leading lady of a film, if that makes sense. So we started on the 1st of January and we're filming until the 31st of December, just to see what happens.
And what type of stories are you looking for, like Liverpool stories?
So we're covering everything that happens in a year, you know what I mean? Yeah. The four seasons, life and death, how a city operates, you know, who are the people that sort of help the city sort of go about its daily business, how a city breeds, sort of how people interact with the city. And then also on top of that, trying to shine like a light on pocket of the city that maybe we don't know about.
Yeah.
Little hidden gems, if that makes sense.
Are you able to tell us about the hidden gems, or are they secrets?
Well, I don't know, just down the road from here is the oldest sketch club in the country.
Yeah.
The live sketch club. It's been going since like 1856.
Sketch club?
A sketch club, yeah.
So what's that?
Where they do like sort of life portraits.
Where's that based?
Oriel Chambers, which has got history in itself. There's all kinds of going on. Where did we film last? There's just the suit shop on London Road, as everyone I think just calls it. It's called Johnny Monk.
Monk's on the top.
He's been gone. He's still working there for 50 years.
Yeah. So it's all stories like
the fabric of the city. The fabric of the city.
People. Will you be covering football at all? Like,
we have covered football. I want to do it in a non-cliched way, though. You know what I mean? So we covered Everton staying up last game of the season, and we mirrored that with Liverpool's first home game against, because they're both against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Because what we like about football is sort of the community of it, isn't it, and the passion.
Yeah.
And I think that's evident in this city, away from Anfield and Goodison. You know what I mean? And sort of in the amateur leagues, it's even.
So you're covering the amateur league, someone? Or
we have done, yeah. There's a
City of Liverpool, or
no, even lower. The team we focused on was Granby Toxic Athletic, Tiber, just off Lodge Lane. But it's tapping into those things of like, what is the city? So we're music obsessed, but not showing it through the Beatles and Matthew Treat, showing it maybe through like a young punk band who sort of, epitome of that.
So you're looking for stories still, or like any ideas? Or
if people have got them, we've literally covered everything, though. So there's a piece in the Echo, and I've had people get in touch, and we've covered everything. People have mentioned, because I'm filming 4 or 5 days a week.
Well, how would people get in touch with you then?
Email me, info@shutoutthelight.co.uk.
So say that again, yeah?
info@shutoutthelight.co.uk.
Shutoutthelight.co.uk.
Suggestions welcome, really.
What about the Explosion and podcasts you're covering there? Yeah. Everyone seems to have a podcast, don't they?
Yeah, they do, actually, yeah.
I mean, Ali LaRouche has been going for 5 years.
There's a pod cafe I was made aware of the other day.
Is there, yeah? Yeah. Where's that? What, I don't know where that is.
I don't know what goes on in there.
It is.
Oh, I think it sounds seedy there, didn't I?
Is that on London Road, is it? No?
I don't know. No, I think it's the Baltic somewhere.
Obviously, yeah.
Oh, well, good luck with that, Dan. I've seen some of you. I saw all your Liverpool 8 film. It was absolutely brilliant, you know, and saw some of your other work. So thanks for coming on the podcast. And great contribution. And great contributions from Michael Potter as well.
Thank you.
Jared Miles. And you're listening to Ali LaRouche. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. And hopefully we'll still be challenging Manchester City at the top of the league. Thanks very much. Good luck to the Reds. Ali LaRouche.
You've been listening to Ali LaRouche from the Liverpool Echo's Blood Red Channel.